I want to start by thanking Brother Michael for that offertory. How fabulous. It's so fun to say, here are some words, what can you do with them? It's excellent, excellent. The May Sarton piece you heard earlier, twice now, from her book, Journal of a Solitude, has been a favorite of mine for many years. I remember writing it out on a postcard and keeping it by my desk the first year I came back to New England, having moved back to Honolulu after college. Nothing in Hawaii hones down to structure, the way Sarton describes the ash trees losing their leaves. The simplicity of the living New England architecture of those trees is stunning. The rich farewell to color, how simply the trees let go, she reminds us, without grief. How they lose their leaves as a part of the dance of their cycle. No despair, no regret. And here we are in the midst of this very dance, this mid-October in New England, surrounded by the radiance, the light come down to earth that Wendell Berry described in his poem, Great Trees, tear after tear, a timbered choir. What a great image, right? Stout beams upholding weightless grace of song, a blessing on this place. Would that each of us might always be like the timbered choir, a blessing on this place. What a great aspiration. I will see and hear the woods differently the next time I go there, perhaps the choir singing to me, with me. And would that each of us could let go, learn to lose in order to recover. Let go of what, you might ask? Any and all of the human emotions that keep us stuck in place when it might be better to move on. Disappointment, perhaps, or frustration. Let go worry or expectations. Let go sadness, perhaps, or anger. Unnecessary angst or envy. Hubris or despair. I told a story to the standing committee last week at our meeting that a colleague had shared with a group of us years ago. He said he was leaving his house one morning, and he happened to look up at the top of the tree that was next to his back door. And at the very, very, very top, he noticed one last leaf. He thought, what a miracle that I'm witnessing this. Good job, leaf. Hang in there. He's cheering it on and then went about his day. And then several days later, he noticed it again, only this time, when he saw it, he thought to himself, what is your problem? Let go. Same leaf, different morning. Imitate the trees, Sarton suggests, remembering that nothing stays the same for long, not even pain. In this imperfect world, full of disease and dis-ease and imperfection, I decided it might be useful to make a list of the pros and cons of treehood before I jumped into becoming one or becoming like one. Maybe I thought that would help me discern the value of imitation before I recommended it to anyone else. I got a whole bunch of pros for treehood. And remember, this is deciduous treehood. They do things seemingly effortlessly. They let go things that need to be let go, even if it's not right away. They simplify on a regular basis, something I struggle to do. They spend a fair amount of the year unadorned, no unnecessary accoutrement. They provide safe places for their fellow creatures. They provide shelter and comfort for other creatures. They're often steady and reliable, at least the big ones. And then there were some cons to treehood, I thought, to be fair. They're on a somewhat rigid schedule. And occasionally they are rather vulnerable to disease. And they don't get around much. No travel. Well, beyond their reach. It does seem a variable wisdom then, despite May Sarton's suggestion. So this morning you have been really patient up to this point with all of this tree business so far. Why am I talking about it, and what is my point, other than imitating trees for whatever reason? It's true, we are surrounded at any given point in time by physical reminders of what we might access to help us manage life's challenges. For those of us with access to belief in God, or a higher power, or essence of spirit, the gifts of nature may be secondary. To many of us, nature is our teacher as primary source, and gifts abound, but only when we pay attention. In this part of the world, we are surrounded by tree images. Falling leaves, ever more stark and bare structures, our light is changing. The temperature, believe it or not, will be dropping. And we are about to enter the land of endless holidays. Despite the fact that there are countless world events that might absorb our attention, injustice and global declines leading headlines, for the next 2 months or so, and then sometimes it feels longer, we will be living in the land of relentless commercial assault. It's Halloween. Almost. It's time to dress up, decorate your home with stuff, carve pumpkins, get lots of candy to hand out. Do they need it? Those small creatures wrapped in odd fabrics. You thought I was going to wear these the whole time, didn't you? Just a little example. Those small creatures wrapped in odd fabrics and sparkling hats or frightful masks, carrying bags already filled with unhealthy additives and color-dyed candy. No, of course they don't need it, but we do it anyway. After 2 years of costumes that required handles on the inside of first her house, where her face poked through a center circular window, and the second year of holding the tape recorder that played Donna Summers on the radio, her Sony Walkman Yellow, a perfect replication of the real thing, my youngest child said, "No more box costumes, Mom." That year, she was a princess. There are some fun parts of Halloween. I rather like the carved pumpkin thing with little twinkling candles inside, but of course we go overboard. Or some of us insist on ignoring the whole thing, perhaps, but that's no less a reaction, really. And we're perfectly aware that Halloween is just the introduction to the season. Before the day is through, we're transitioning to Thanksgiving. To whatever our plans might be, the hues of browns and oranges and umbers already overshadowed, at least in the commercial world, by red and green, with a bit of blue and silver sprinkled in between, at least in the politically correct environments. We know it's coming, all these holidays. It makes us twitch just a little, even as it distracts us from the more serious affairs of the world. And there are those of us, and I'm casting no aspersions, probably more like envy here, who love the whole affair and who have managed to align their mojo so that there is calm and goodness and gentleness for each of the individuals in their midst at each of these gatherings. I know some of you are out there. Though even those people have lists and anticipation and anxiety, maybe. For many of us, none of the navigating is that easy. For many of us, even the anticipation of Halloween, of Thanksgiving, of Hanukkah, of Christmas, of New Year's, of every holiday in between, whichever occasion, for many, we sit in the midst of it and recognize our mojo is not aligned. The dark is hard to take. The cold inclines us inward, and all the festive faces feel like masks that don't fit correctly. And if this is not you experiencing this lack of alignment, be assured it is someone you know or love. Perhaps it's every year's holidays that are difficult for reasons accumulated past. Perhaps it's only recently, perhaps this year, since a parent has died, or a sibling, or a divorce has happened, or a job was lost, or a child is struggling, or maybe they have just always been hard, and we're just now beginning to realize it. So the antidote you're suggesting, Reverend Bancroft, is to pretend to be a tree. Well, yes. And no. We covered some of the pros. They're beautiful, they are honed structures. They gracefully accept the changes of season and light. They're statuesque, they dress simply. They let go, they let go. I don't know that trees don't feel. They may respond in some quiet way to the challenging tenor and tensions of our times. More likely, they suffer the injustices we visit upon them. But as far as I know, trees don't plan ahead. Trees do their seasonal thing without the gift or burden of thought. They respond. They endure as they are able. We, on the other hand, look down the road and see what's coming, at least as we are willing. And the planning for it, I think, is both gift and task. That's why we're talking about this in October, as opposed to the time when the Western holidays are already upon us and we would be repeating the patterns that may or may not have served us as though taken by surprise. Oh, Thanksgiving again. Where'd that happen? Oh, Hanukkah, no candles. What was I thinking? We have the ability to be intentional. Intentionality is not a tree gift. If we only stand like trees, even though we might be learning the art of detachment, we miss an opportunity to take our letting go one step further. If yours is the overabundant celebration of plenty, then perhaps this is the year to step it back a little bit. Are there people who might need your time and attention more than they need things? If yours is the protective retrenching away from all things festive, perhaps this is the year to stretch yourself toward it a bit, to be present to the possibility of joy that has eluded you in the past. If yours is the pattern of remorse that feels everyone has more than you do, perhaps this is the year to find richness and value in countercultural gifts, time, music, rest. If yours is the pattern of responsibility for everyone else's well-being, for everyone else's joy and perfect holiday experience, perhaps this is the year to ask for help, to reframe expectations, your own and others. There are limitless ways to change our patterns, to create new mojo more broadly shared, but we have to be willing to look ahead, to see what's down the road, and how it is a function of tradition that may have run its course, or how it is likely to have been impacted perhaps by this year's events, whether global or personal. The rhythms that nature provides find expression in human traditions that we are often loath to let go of. Like the predictability of autumn leaves bringing light to the ground, we find comfort in the familiar patterns of our lives. On Halloween, we always do this. On Thanksgiving, we always go there. Perhaps this is the year to look ahead and wonder if these traditions, these patterns still fit, or how it would feel to do things a bit differently, to recognize that what works for one doesn't always work for all, or that this year we need to include this thought or that person. The point is to be looking with enough time ahead of you so that you can make a change that feels like the right thing, or you can have the conversation that includes other perspectives. Perhaps it is akin to the pruning that restores balance and structural integrity to the whole, that lets light filter into new places. Sartan offers the instruction, learn to lose in order to recover. As we ease our way into these curiously commercial times, fraught with both opportunity and peril in human relations, what are the things you may want to lose or alter in order to recover a fresh vision? Let us move forward with intention this year, with grace, with new light, with eyes open to the possibility of a slightly different and more honed experience, perhaps, so that we harvest all the very best of the seasons ahead. Love and laughter, the joy of both gratitude and giving, finding ourselves ready for a new year, strengthened by our tree-like skills, our timbered choir a blessing on this place. So may it be. And amen.